Have you heard of the brand new youth show? Brimmed with spirituality, loaded with fun. Hosted by Hafiz Shakir Bayat. Tune in from 4 to 5 every Saturday afternoon. Radio Islam International. Our youth, our future.
Making access to knowledge easier.
You're listening to Radio Islam International. This is an exclusive broadcast where we're paying tribute to one of the leading Muslim personalities. His Salatul Janaza was led at Masjid al-Nabawi today, a capacity crowd attending his Salatul Janaza as he was buried in Medina Tayyibah. The people buried in Medina Tayyibah will be amongst the first to be raised up on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and they have close affinity to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Joining me on the line all the way from Jeddah is Sheikh Sajid Umar. Sheikh, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi, and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. From Riyadh, Akhi al-Karim. I hope you are.
Jazakallahu khairan for that correction. On line number two, joining us from London, we have Ijaz Taj, who is a family friend of Sheikh Muhammad Ayyub's family. Ijaz, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi, and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much for inviting me on.
From the very onset, I would take the opportunity to apologize to both you, my esteemed guests, as well as the listeners for the delay in the commencement of the program. The reason being that in and around Lanesia in Johannesburg, the traffic was terribly backed up and it's very unusual for Saturday afternoon. And for that reason, that was the cause of the delay in the commencement of the program. I hope you forgive me for that.
No problem at all.
Firstly, the world and a special condolences to the entire Muslim Ummah, not only specifying those who were close to the family, the reason being that there is a quote in Arabic, Mawtul Alim, Mawtul Alam, that the death of a scholar who is contributing to the upkeep of the Ummah and a person who is adding value to the Ummah, when it is their loss, it is a loss that is so profound that it causes an impact throughout the world. And this is something that we should keep in mind. So condolences to the entire world. We hope that Sheikh Muhammad Ayyub has moved from this temporary abode to a much better place. Ijaz, we'll start off with you. You are based in UK, precisely London. Sheikh Muhammad Ayyub was based in Saudi Arabia, I would assume in Medina. How were you able to establish a personal contact with the family?
The Sheikh, his son, Zubair, one of his sons, he's a teacher at Medina University. And the Sheikh, he's had a long-time connection with a masjid in Birmingham, one of the cities in the UK. They invited his son down for Salat al-Taraweeh to lead Ramadan. I believe it was like two or three Ramadans ago. And so I took the opportunity to go up there and meet with him. And I know the administration of that masjid. So I sat with him, and we stayed in contact since then. So I met up with his son in Medina. So I meet up with him every so often when I go there. And the Sheikh, he comes back to London, I think, every Ramadan now. And he leaves for a week for about the first 2 weeks of Ramadan. So I accompanied with him, and I stayed with him. And we grew a friendship from there. And alhamdulillah, every time we go to Medina, we go to see his father, who he had his own masjid. And it was a masjid that he led his last salah in yesterday, Salatul Isha. In Medina, so that's basically how my connection with him started.
Mm-hmm. Sheikh Sajid, due to your very pleasant personality, you're often praising many different people, but it is clearly noticeable via your social networking posts and a few recordings of your various programs. It is clearly noticeable that you have a special degree of affiliation and affinity with Sheikh Muhammad Ayyub. Is there a special reason that you had so many words of praise for Sheikh Muhammad Ayyub?
Barakallahu feek, Akhi al-Kareem. May Allah bless you. Firstly, you know, I say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We are from Allah and to Allah. We belong to Allah and to Allah we will return. And I say lillahi ma akhadh wa lahu ma a'ta wa kullu shayn indahu ila ajalin musamma. That indeed, for Allah is what He takes, as is for Allah what He gives, and everything that exists with an expiry date. Firstly, I'm honored at the opportunity, and I feel blessed, wallahi, being chosen to be part of this particular platform, this program of yours that Radio Islam has dedicated to a giant, no doubt. And like most of us, you know, we found out about the passing away of our Sheikh, rahimahullah, today after Salatul Fajr. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make me worthy here and to make our time together an inspiration for everyone listening. And a sadaqatul jariyah for Sheikh Muhammad. Ameen. Also, I'd like to thank Radio Islam, really, for, you know, dedicating this time towards discussing matters pertaining to the Sheikh and his death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless everybody at the radio station. Yes, I mean, you know, moved, no doubt, you know, everyone who knows the Sheikh is moved. And, you know, if you ask what is the reason, then the only reason I can share is the Quran. It has to be the Quran, because this Quran is absolutely amazing. And here we have a man who dedicated his life to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from a very early age up to his passing, and not only dedicated his life, but clearly he was blessed in terms of being proficient and prolific in recitation, in the pronunciation of the letters of the Quran, in the quality of his tarteel, in his tajweed. He was blessed in his abilities, and Allah blessed him with a mighty voice. Wallahi, there's not many people that, you know, read the Quran, and when they read the Quran, you have this feeling like the Quran is being revealed at the time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with this ability, and I cannot help but think of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sahih al-Bukhari, in which he said, "Al-mahiru bil-Qur'ani ma'as-safaratil kiram al-barara," that the person who is proficient with the Quran, then this person will be with the messengers and the angels and those that are close to Allah and those that are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all these emotions, you know, put together, all these reasons put together bring about a special emotion, and perhaps that's the, you know, that's been the turbines, and that's what instigated much of what I've shared today on social media and so on.
At moments like this, we can simply just lament the loss of a legend of Quran, a legend amongst the Muslims. Otherwise, we can opt to take benefit from his advices and from his works. Ijaz, you had the opportunity of meeting with Sheikh Muhammad Ayyub on numerous occasions. Was there any specific advices that he shared with you that stood out that we can take home today?
Yes, every single time I met with the Sheikh, alhamdulillah, I managed to benefit something different. The very first time I met with him, I met with him in his masjid in 2013. And I was there on a Hajj trip. It was before the days of Hajj. And alhamdulillah, I sat with the Sheikh, and I wanted to actually film the Sheikh, giving me some advice on some advice that he would personally give students of Quranic memorization in the West. He declined to do the video interview, but because he's quite strict about that. And I think there's only one video interview available of him. It's on YouTube, and I think it was done in Kuwait. But he gave me some, he recorded an audio advice for me. And alhamdulillah, that I translated that, and I made a video of it. If you go on YouTube and search for Bearers of the Mighty Quran, you'll find the advice that he gave there, and it's translated with English subtitles. And it was a very succinct, very short, beautiful advice the Sheikh gave on the importance of basically giving the Quran importance in your life. That when you actually give it importance in your life, then everything else will follow after that. And then he gave some advice on tajweed and on tarteel and the importance of reciting with a beautiful voice and beautifying your voice while reciting, as well as simply reciting the words as they are from a technical sense. So he gave some beautiful advice there. And I think one of the most profound things the Sheikh said to me was just 2 weeks ago when I met him. And subhanAllah, it was really the qadr of Allah that I had absolutely no plans to go on Umrah at that time. And a friend of mine called me up and he said to me, "I'd like you to come on my group as a tour guide." And I contemplated it, and I was very close to refusing it and saying no, and as I was planning to travel for Umrah in Ramadan anyway. But I accepted, and alhamdulillah, I managed to, again, when I was in Medina, I met with the family of the Sheikh, and I met the Sheikh as well in Masjid Nabawi. And it was beautiful. I mean, the Sheikh is, you know, he was visibly ill, but he would come by himself, drive to Masjid Nabawi, walk to the Masjid, sit in his corner and sit and listen to up to four students at the same time. And wallahi, it was a miracle. I sat there in his circle and I was listening to, he listened to, I think, in total about six students and four of them at the same time. And he would stop each one and correct each one whenever they made a mistake, one by one. So it wasn't like he was letting anything pass. And as I was leaving, I shook hands with the sheikh and I spoke to him, and he asked me about my Arabic studies. I spoke to him in Arabic, and I said to him, alhamdulillah, the Arabic is going well, but I found it to be a more difficult language than English. And he said to me, he said a very profound thing. He said that the Arabic language is not difficult by any way that you can conceive. Because had that been the case, the Quran itself would not have been learned or memorized and spread from east to west in the way it is today. And then after that, he probably said, assalamu alaikum, and he went by his way. You know, the sheikh is, mashallah, very stern, and he gets to the point. And those are the last words he said to me, you know, and those are words that I think will remain with me for the rest of my life, and they're very profound, I think. The sheikh, every time I sat with him, and every time I spoke to him, I took something else away. So he was a font of wisdom as well. As he taught, he spent years of his life teaching as well. It wasn't just leading salah and reciting the Quran. So I took quite a bit from him, mashallah.
Allah has been very kind to you in affording you the opportunity with spending time with one of his pious friends. May Allah reward you and may Allah accept that from you. We know it is common information that most of the imams, or rather all the imams of the Haramain, are Arabs. Whether it is in reference to Makkah, whether it is in reference to Medina, the imams are Arab. Sheikh Sajid, how did it eventually materialize that Sheikh Muhammad Ayyub was the only exception to this rule because his nationality is Burmese?
To the best of my knowledge, I think his nationality is Saudi. Perhaps Brother Ijaz can add to that. But no doubt his background is Burmese, his ethnic background, and... You're asking this question. It has been asked before that, you know, somebody with a non-Arab background is not an Arab, and he was given one of the highest positions. We can say the highest position to be an Imam of the Haram, and it has to go back to the Quran. And Brother Ijaz just now referenced an interview that the Sheikh did not so long ago, and in it he references, you know, the story of how he ended up getting a place on that musalla. And if you analyze everything he said, it goes back to the Quran, because, you know, even when he was appointed to take on that post by the head, Sheikh Abdul Aziz al-Saleh, of Masjid al-Nabawi, the whole reason why he was actually called in for an interview with the head of the Haram was because this head of the Haram was told of this mighty recital of the Quran and his mesmerizing voice. And then when the Sheikh interviewed him and listened to him recite the Quran, he felt the same. He felt the impact of the recitation of Sheikh Muhammad rahimahullah. So it's the Quran. Wallahi, this Quran, it places people. It places people. And, Ijaz can confirm this, and this is something, you know, everyone who's met the Sheikh will actually say they will bear witness to the humbleness of the Sheikh and how you'd feel the sincerity oozing from him. Subhanallah. He was just a sincere person. He was just a servant of Allah and a protector of the Quran and a person who dedicated his life to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So really, I mean, you know, we can look right and left and try and look into the minutiae of things and see what actually happened, that he actually got a place on the musalla, and at the end of the day, it's the Quran. This Quran indeed places us.
We can just attribute this to the acceptance from Allah Jalla Jalalu, and it was a divine appointment by Allah.
Indeed.
In order for us
Indeed.
To appreciate the humility of a personality, we need to understand his caliber, and that would motivate us then to understand his humility. That understanding from one background, despite the background, the person remains so humble. Sheikh, would you be able to enlighten us, Sheikh Sajid, on Sheikh Muhammad Ayyub rahimahumullah's academic credentials?
I can, inshallah, I can shed some light. Obviously, there are too many to mention in our sitting, but just to run through. Firstly, the Sheikh, you know, his beginnings are very humble. The family fled oppression in Burma, and that's how they ended up in Hijaz and in Mecca in particular. To the best of my knowledge, he was an elder in the family. So there was a lot of responsibility on him as a young boy growing up. And, you know, when we talk about hijaz back in the day, it wasn't as we find it now. For those who've gone to, you know, for to Hajj and Umrah in the 90s and thereafter, hijaz was different. It wasn't laden with tar roads and wonderful buildings. In fact, for those who performed Hajj in probably the 90s and Umrah in the 90s, you probably would have noticed some of the buildings and humble homes going up mountains around the Haram, and you could, you know, you would not help but feel that, subhanAllah, those homes look like they're on the verge of breaking. It was a rugged terrain, and from this young young age, he was placed in an institute to learn the Quran. You know, it wasn't easy getting there or returning back home, and despite all this, he was dedicated to the cause. And Allah blessed him to memorize the Quran, as some commentators say, at the age of 12. And they state that there were two influential people. He had many teachers, but the most influential teachers in his life were Sheikh Zaki Daghestani, and that was in his early years. And then later on, and this is probably the Sheikh that we can say made Sheikh Muhammad Ayyub, and that is the famous Sheikh Khalil Qari, who was also a master in the Hijazi style recitation that you and I discussed before the radio program started. Mm-hmm. And a recitation that Muhammad Ayyub rahimahullah mastered as well, and produced many master classes in this Hijazi style of reciting the Quran. So in terms of, you know, the academic achievements, from the beginning you got to say he was a hafiz of the Quran, and a powerful hafiz. We talk about hafiz of the Quran, we mean hafiz, someone who could stand and recite from anywhere in the Quran anytime. And for those who know, when he was appointed to the Musalla in the Haram, he was given all 20 units of prayer. To the best of my memory, he recited the entire Ramadan, all of the units, all 20 rak'ats, besides about 2 to 3 days. Right? So he led the entire Taraweeh. And this is something that many Kuffar cannot do. Mm-hmm. Right? We're talking about the Musalla in Masjid al-Nabawi. This is a nerve-wracking experience, right? The haiba and the aura of the station that you as an imam, you're standing on, and then you have hifz, and you have hundreds of thousands behind you, and then you have 20 units of prayer, and looking after the beginning of the raka'ah and the end of the raka'ah, and so on and so forth. And he did this eloquently with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a strong hafiz, walillahi alhamd. Also, he's a carrier of ijazat. He has many certificates that go back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of his recitation. So he studied with many reputable mashayikh. From them as well, I mentioned two. From them is Ahmed, Sheikh Ahmed Zayat. We mentioned the Sheikh Khalil Qari. There's also a Sheikh Hassan Sha'ir, rahmatullahi alayhim ajma'in. So, at the beginning we cite him as a strong hafiz of the Quran. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him after his primary education to move to Medina, and there he completed his secondary education, and then went to study in the faculty of Sharia at Jami'ah al-Islamiyah. In Medina, it's a famous Islamic university. Many students, even from South Africa, study there as well. And he graduated from the faculty of Sharia and then went on to dedicate his life towards learning the meanings of the Quran and studying academically the meanings of the Quran. Thus, he did a master's degree and PhD in tafsir. Mm-hmm. Right? And in fact, his master's thesis and PhD thesis was dedicated towards the narrations of Sa'id ibn Jubayr in tafsir. So in his master's thesis, he discussed the narrations of Sa'id ibn Jubayr from the beginning of the Quran to Surah At-Tawbah, if my memory serves me right. And then in his PhD, it was from Surah At-Tawbah till the end of the Quran. Right? So this was his postgraduate studies. It was dedicated to the Quran. On top of that, Allah blessed him then to be a faculty member of the faculty of Tafsir in Jamiat al-Islamiyah for a very long time, and also to be part of the King Fahd Quran Complex Scholarly Committee. And in fact, King Fahd, rahimahullah, he actually released a decree that Sheikh Muhammad Ayyub actually record a recitation, a high quality recitation of the Quran that will be part of the production of this particular complex. And he did do a wonderful recitation in the Hijazi Makki, in the Mecca Hijazi style, with you know, amazing tajweed, amazing clarity. And anyone who is becoming a hafiz, wants to learn how to recite the Quran properly, then no doubt you listen to this particular recording of Sheikh Muhammad Ayyub. And this complex also released a recording by Sheikh Ali Hudhayfi Hafidhahullah, and Sheikh Akbar and others. So this is it in a nutshell, really. On top of that, obviously he's been an advisor to many Quran programs, many programs as well.
Sheikh Sajid, at this point I would like to apologize. Just the time is against us. We didn't have the opportunity or the ability to do justice to this august life. In just 30 seconds, Ijaz, in just 30 seconds, take us through some highlights of his life that you were planning to share with us. The time just didn't allow us to go through.
I think the Sheikh, mashallah, he himself went through the ranks. He went through the Shuyukh, he went to Quba, Masjid Nabawi, then Quba, and then various other masajid. But to be honest, I think the highlight for the Sheikh, for him, was always Masjid Nabawi. And that's what he'll always be remembered for, his Taraweeh and his exquisite Tahajjud recordings, which are in a class of their own. I mean, if you listen to some of the, at the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah Al-Tawbah, some of these famous recordings from Tahajjud, these were just on a different level altogether. So I think definitely for the Sheikh, his legacy will always remain cemented with his time in Masjid Nabawi. But the Sheikh, mashallah, has plenty of other recordings in other places too, but I think definitely his legacy was Al-Masjid Nabawi and what he left there and what he was remembered for.
Jazakallah khairan. My apologies for commencing the program late, undue circumstances or unplanned circumstances. My apologies for cutting both you, Shuyukh, short. Please forgive me, please pardon me for this. My apologies to the listeners for having a very short broadcast dedicated to Sheikh Muhammad Ayyub. We've added to our Radio Islam system some very short, unique recordings of Sheikh Muhammad Ayyub. I'm going to request from the Nizam Hour team to play them out in due course throughout the program. But from my side, I would like to thank Sheikh Sajid Umar. I beg you to please pardon me. Ijaz, yourself, I thank you as well and beg you to pardon me. Sheikh Sajid, Jazakallahu khairan for your time. Assalamu alaikum. Ijaz, Jazakallahu khairan for your time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It was a pleasure.
We urge all of the listeners to take out some time and read some Quran and send it for Isalul Thawab to Sheikh Muhammad Ayyub rahimahumullah. I officially sign off. It is now time for the Nizam Hour that comes on next. Jazakallahu khairan to the studio operator, Hafiz Hanzala. Jazakallahu khairan to the entire team at Radio Islam International. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.